friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And Debbie and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, our Savior. We want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours. Luke 19 and 10 tells us, "For the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now look, you may have started this day in the lost column, but you can end it in the saved column. You may have started in the wrong column, but you can end in the right column. Friend, if you just listen to the Word of God, if you just heed to the Spirit of God, and if you just do what good common sense tells you to do, you'll go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and save you in light of what Jesus, His Son, did at a place called Calvary. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program. We always are excited about the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, the music that God has inspired Debbie to do. And we trust our time together will be a blessing. I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And as soon as Debbie does, her song, the title of it is "This Path I Take," I'll be back to meet you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I may have said 2, chapter 3, with the message. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Well, here's my love with "This Path I Take."
This path I take leads me through a barren land into a distant land called home.
Tell you, friend, we're all headed for someplace in eternity, and I'm such an old preacher, been at that this so long, I still believe in a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you determine in this life, sir, ma'am, what will be your destiny? What will be your destiny? Look, you accept Christ as your Savior, go to Him with a broken spirit, broken and a contrite heart. Ask God for Christ's sake to forgive you of your sins and to save you, to make you a new creature in Christ. And you know what? You can change your destiny. You can change your eternity. But listen, listen to this old country preacher. I may not know everything, but things that I know as well as anybody can know them. You've got to do it this side of the grave. Do you hear me? Hey, listen, friend, you've got a soul that's going to live on somewhere in eternity, and you better make sure this side of the grave, this side of death, friend, that you're going to the right place. I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 to you for your consideration and for our text verse for this message that God has stirred me to it. I believe it's an important message. I really do. I mean to tell you, I believe it's extremely important for me and you to understand something about the Word of God. Let me go ahead and give you my text that I'm going to use for this message before I even read my text passages. Here's what I'm going to preach about: why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. May I tell you something, sir, ma'am? There is evidence that is complete. It's irrefutable. It's undeniable. It is available to anyone and everyone that wants to consider it. But look, let's be honest. It comes down to a conviction. It comes down to a choice for you to believe. And God has given us that privilege to choose or to reject, to accept or to reject, to believe or not believe. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm going to tell you, if I did not have the points that I have in this message, and it's not an exhaustive message, all of these points that I have are not all the points that could be had. There are just a few. I don't have time to tell you about everything that we could tell you about, friend, about the Word of God. But the Lord has led me to some that I believe are efficient and sufficient to anyone that wants to take them. Look, the Word of God has been under attack ever since it was written, ever since that it was produced, both the written Word as well as the living Word. And I'm here today, though the Word of God does not need defended, I'm going to defend it. Paul says in two places in the book of Philippians that I'm sent for the defense of the gospel. I believe the Word of God is like a lion. All you got to do is let it loose. It'll defend itself. But I'm here to tell you why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Paul says this to young Timothy. It's his swan song. He'll lay down his pen when he gets to the final verse of the final chapter of 2 Timothy, this personal letter that he wrote to a young man that was a pastor at a church at Ephesus, who Paul had great care and concern and affinity for. And he loved Timothy and led him to the Lord. He had nurtured him. He had mentored him. And he had helped prepare him for the work God called him to do. And maybe it was to take Paul's place when Paul would step off the stage of action, which was, according to this letter, soon to happen. Now, Paul said this. Let me go ahead and get verse 15, if I may. Well, let me get verse 14. He said, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures," listen to that, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He said, "All Scriptures give me inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Now look, let me tell you something. I've already told you that I believe this Bible, this 1611 King James Bible, is the inspired, preserved, infallible, pure Word of God. I believe it's that book, listen, friend, that can change lives and change eternities. I know that it is a translation, but I refer to it as the Word of God. Do you hear me? I know that it is a translation, but I believe it's translation for this age. I believe that it is holy. And look, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't have a King James Bible, I believe that you're living under a strong, friend, a strong, well, I won't even say delusion, but impairment. Let me tell you that. Hey, do you know what? If you don't have a King James Bible, there are some Bibles that you could hold in your head that says all Scripture that is inspired, all Scripture that is inspired. Hey, I'm glad I've got a Bible that says all Scripture is inspired. This book that I hold in my hand is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain the words of God, though it does that. It is the Word of God. And the inspiration of it, the overseeing of it. Hey, listen, what's the word that I'm looking for? But let me just say, the overseeing of it, the inspiration of it guarantees that everything we find in that book is true. Even the lies of Satan, the lies of man, the failure of great men. Hey, this book is a book that if man could write it, they would. And I mean to tell you, let's face it, it's an honest book. It's a true book. I mean to tell you, it lays man out bare. Hey, it deals with true things, eternal things. And I want you to know, it's got the message of your salvation in it, sir, ma'am, if you'll just simply believe its words, accept its precepts, and follow its principles. You know what Jesus told a group up at Jerusalem one day in chapter 7, verse 17 of the gospel according to John? Jesus said this. It's a great verse. He said, now look, I want to tell you something. He said, if any man will do his will, talking about God, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Hey, look, Jesus was speaking truth. He was truth incarnate. He was truth manifest in the flesh. But when he came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. He said that he didn't do anything that the Father hadn't given him to do. He didn't say anything that he hadn't heard the Father say. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you want to know whether or not this book is spirit and life, if it's true, hey, if its message is true, all you got to do is believe it and do its words, and you'll find out how true that it is. But I'm going to talk to you about why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. You know what I believe? I believe every word in this Bible is inspired. I believe the plenary or complete or full verbal inspiration of the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, friend, listen, God instructed men to write this book. We know of 40 to 45 authors, without a doubt, that can be identified. Peter called them holy men of God. They didn't write anything that they chose to write, but God superintended the writing. I mean to tell you, He breathed in them and through them the very words that we have here in the Word of God. The Bible says, listen, what does He say? Forever is Thy Word settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89, I believe it is. It's been tried. It's been proven. Look, this Bible that I hold in my hand, listen, friend, listen, it's gone through 7 revisions, not 7, what is it? Can't think of the other word. But I'm telling you, friend, it's no question, no wonder, no accident that the Word of God says it's been tried 7 times in a furnace of fire. And I'm telling you, this book has been tried, and it still is tried. But oh, I believe in every word of it. I believe in this book. Is accurate. Do you hear me? The very fact that it's inspired, it assures of its accuracy historically, geographically, scientifically, and especially prophetically. Hey, this book isn't a textbook. But can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? The things that it says scientifically is scientifically true. The things that it says historically are historically true. The things that it says geographically are geographically true. I want you to know, friend, listen, that it is the Word of God. Let me start here if I can. I've got a long way to go in a short time to get there. You know, one of the things that I believe testifies to the reality of this book, to the accuracy of this book, to the authenticity of this book, to the truthfulness of this book, the inspiration of this book, is its indestructibility. You know, man's tried to do everything to it to destroy it from the very first time that I wish you could remember the king's name. who took the pen knife to the words that man who was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah wrote, cut them up and threw them in the fire. Hey, do you know what God did after that king did that? Hey, he got Jeremiah. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get Barak, and you tell him to pen down everything that you've already written. I'm going to give it to you again. And look at this. I think God has a great sense of humor, and I'm going to give you a little bit more to go on top of it. Hey, listen, friend. Kings and potentates, even popes of the Roman Catholic Church have tried to destroy it. Do you know the Roman Catholic Church in a day now past has done more to destroy more Bibles than any other entity on planet Earth? Isn't that amazing? I mean, to tell you, the hammers of persecution have tried to kill it, to silence it, to destroy it, to ridicule it, even higher criticism, liberalism, and other things have tried to pound it out. Their blows have come against it on its divine inspiration, on its reality and authentication. How about you know what? Hey, those hammers lay in a rust pile while the Word of God still stands today. Hey, friend, listen. You can put it in a fire and burn these words in this paper. How about the Word of God lives and abides forever? I mean to tell you, it'll stand any attack internally or externally. I'm talking about any internally from the church, from those who, quote, supposedly love it and not want to share it, unquote, to those who are totally atheistic against it, believe and proclaim that it is a fake book. Let me tell you something, friend. Can I tell you? Hey, listen, it's historically accurate. That lets me know, I thank God, one of the reasons it lets me know that the Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible does and can stand for itself. Do you hear me? I mean, look, every time the spade of an archaeologist turns over a shovel full of sand or grain in that great land where this book was written, and the stuff that is in this book is written about, do you know what it does? It confirms the Word of God. It doesn't have to get me to believe it. Doesn't have to get me to believe that what God had written originally. Hey, God doesn't need any help. God doesn't need any support, but some men do. And you know what I read one time throughout my studies over the years? That archaeology was first created hoping to destroy the Word of God, hoping to disprove it. God's got a great sense of humor. I've already told you that. And instead of disproving the Word of God, every time something's uncovered, every time the ground, is disturbed and evidence rises out of its safekeeping, it only confirms what the Word of God has already said. Hey, listen, this book is historically accurate. Everything it says about history has happened. Bless God, whether or not man in this age, man in this day, can find evidence to prove it. The Word of God is evidence itself. It needs no support. It needs no stays. It needs nothing to help it. It stands upon its eternal divine or origin. Hey, look, what about scientific accuracy? I love this. Hey, listen, every scientific statement in this book is true. It's not a book of science, but I'll tell you what, when it says something scientifically, you know what? It's true. Hey, there was a time that the world thought the world was flat. Listen to what the Word of God says. And I believe this is what caused Columbus to realize that he could sail to a new world. He said it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. That's what Isaiah 40:22 says. Hey, listen, friend. We know the world is a globe. It's a sphere. I'm telling you what. And you know what else it does? Hey, it's just suspended out there in space. Isn't that amazing? Well, if you ask anybody that went up in the Apollo missions, the missions that they had, and even from John Glenn, without a doubt, he didn't run into any cables and wires while he was circling the globe back in the 60s. Listen to what Job said. Job long ago said this. He said he stretches out the north over the empty places and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Hey, look, friend. Look, friend. This book is scientifically accurate. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus 17 and 11, he said the power, or he said the life of the flesh is in the blood. Isn't that amazing? And we're living in a day when they're promoting and have been promoting for some time now this lie hatched out of hell, this lie, friend, that they call evolution. I mean, to tell you, even from the beginning in Genesis 1, 21, 24 and 25, hey, do you know what? How the Bible does not teach spontaneous generation. Even a man by the name of Louis Pasteur in the late 1800s disproved a spontaneous generation. But listen to what the Word of God says. From the beginning, He said this. God said in verse 21, and God created great whales, every living creature that moveth with the waters, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 24 and 5, God said unto the earth, bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and so it was. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Can I tell you, friend, listen, nothing that has no life can bring forth life. It's an impossibility. A giraffe doesn't come from a monkey. A cat doesn't come from a dog. Hey, listen, God put things into order, and it doesn't come from spontaneous generation. Well, I told you all these things needed more time. How about this last one? I got to finish on this because of time. How about prophetic accuracy? Can I tell you, sir or ma'am, if I had no other reason to believe the Word of God is the Word of God, I'd take this one. You say, why, preacher? Do you know that there are other sacred, quote, unquote, texts around that men claim to be holy books? I mean, there's a lot of religions in the world. They've all got a textbook of their religious stuff. But this Bible, for many, many, many reasons, exists in a place all by itself. It rises above all others as far as the heaven is from the earth. And one of the reasons is the prophetic accuracy of it. Can I tell you no other religion in the world has anything to do with prophecy that's accurate? Oh, they may predict things, but it's untrue right here in the book of Isaiah 41, 21 and following. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and shew us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us to come. Shew the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and bold. Behold it all together. Hey, do you know what God was saying? God was saying, listen, they're liars. All those other sacred books won't stand up to the test. Won't stand up, friend, listen, to the muster. But you know what? Every prophecy you find in this Word of God, this book we call the Bible, this 1611 King James Version that I hold in my hand, every prophecy, bless God, either has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. I believe there's at least 118 prophecies about the first coming of Christ. And can I tell you, sir, ma'am, every one of them was fulfilled from the fact that a virgin was with child and brought forth a son. Hey, listen, the Word of God prophesied even the very place that He would be born. And it would be in Bethlehem, Judea, not Bethlehem of Galilee. Oh, the Word of God is so precise. If you go to the book of Daniel, I read chapter 9, verses, 24 through 27. You'll find out that the Word of God prophesied when Jesus would come. Oh, listen, hundreds of years before it happened, it prophesied that He would enter into the street or into the city of Jerusalem on a day that they called Palm Sunday. Oh, listen, friend, it prophesies of another week of Daniel as Daniel looked at that 70-week of prophecy that is yet to come, that will be fulfilled, a time of great tribulation, a time when Antichrist will be revealed, a time in a 7-year period of time, and when the population of planet Earth, which is a little better than 8 billion people, will be cut in half. I'm telling you, friend, these reasons and a multitude of other reasons are why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Let me give you my final one. What it's done for me, it's changed me, it's made me a new creature, it brought me out of darkness, put me into light, it's changed my heart, changed my destiny. Change my desire, change my thinking, change my living, change my speaking, change, bless God, my thinking. And it'll do the same for you. All you got to do is believe it. All you got to do is read it and accept it. All you got to do, friend, is take God, add His Word, and you'll find yourself that this book, this 1611 King James Bible, is without a doubt, undeniably, indestructibly, the Word of God. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.